one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
And I imagine some of them begin to look around, and the little boys and girls begin to say, "Daddy, where's God?" And I see God stick his majestic face out of the top of the ark through the window and say, "Here I am in the ark. Exactly where I told you I'd be." That old preacher told you 120 years, didn't he? If you wanted to end with God, you'd have to get in the ark. And that's where God is. And dear friends, likewise, if you want to know where God is, he's in Christ, and that's our ark. And the only place you'll ever find God will be in Christ. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me." And you'll never go to heaven until you come in Christ. Where's God? I'm so glad I'm able to tell my generation where they can find him. "Moses, where are you going?" "Up on the mount." It thundered and lightened, and strange things happened. Joshua said, "Moses, where's God?" He said, "He's in the mount here with me, giving me the word of God." Yes. If you want to find him, you can find him. Hezekiah. Somebody knocks on his door. Hezekiah's on his sickbed. He said to that great preacher, "Come in." The preacher said, "I have a death message for you." Hezekiah said, "Who's doing the die?" He said, "You are. Set your house in order. It's all over." The Bible said, well, Hezekiah dismissed the preacher, turned his face to the wall, and by faith said, "Where's God?" And God said, "Here I am. What do you need?" He said, "15 more years, please." And he let him live. On his sick bed, he found him. I believe a man can find the Lord. A Christian can find him even while he's sick. I don't know all about that, but that lady, that ought not to be strange, really. That ought to be commonplace. I believe people ought to go to church sick a lot of time, go home well. I've had people come in the service, the power of God fall, their bodies were quickened. The Bible said the Holy Spirit will quicken our mortal body. I believe that. If I did not, never make the miles I make. There are times, if God didn't quicken my mortal body because of the long hours and the weary days, I'd never be able to step in the pulpit refreshed and ready to preach. And I believe if the Holy Spirit ever quickened people's mortal bodies, he'll quicken them today. What do you think the centurion meant when he came to Jesus and said, "My servant, homesick of the palsy, grievously tormented"? Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." That old centurion said, "Not necessary. Speak the word only, and he'll be all right." And I've got faith enough to believe in this old book that if God ever put healing in the book, it's still in it. And if you don't believe it, you ought to start believing it. And I believe that when God said, "Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God," I believe he meant just exactly what he said. And if we believed what was in the Bible and would go after it, we'd read it more often than we do. If you believe the 91st Psalm, where it said, "No evil shall befall thee, and no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." If you really believe that, I mean, if you believe that the Lord would be your night watchman around your house, if you believe that he'd let no devil come before you in your house, I tell you, we're living in the time of devils. They're still running loose in Kansas City, of every kind. And a lot of them look sort of like the devil, I think. I mean, I've never seen such inhuman creatures and critters in my life. I mean, and some of them are college students. Have you ever... I was up in Portland, Oregon, and I drove on the way to church, and I looked over there in the park, and I've never seen... So I said, "Where'd that bunch of hobos and bums come from?" And the one looking at driving me across the church said, "Why, Brother Roloff, those are not hobos and bums." Well, I said, "What rescue mission is close to here?" She said, "Those are not prospects for the rescue mission. Those are college students." I said, "You don't mean it." Well, I said, "Man, I didn't have much clothes when I went off to Baylor, but I'll guarantee you they was ironed and pressed and cleaned and my shoes is shined. And we took the best we had to college with us. Now then, boy, they just, the uglier they can look, the sloucher, the dirtier, the filthier they are, I guess the more they look like a college student. I don't get it. I think it's a disgrace to God." Where's God? Little old country boy, he got captured one day. Enemy came over there, and King said, "Say, when you boys get over there about amongst that bunch of Hebrews," said, "I've heard a lot of fantastic stories about them." He said, they're supposed to be a sort of super-duper people. And said, "I wish y'all pick me up about four or five of them, bring them back over here, and let's see how they turn out." So they picked up old Daniel. I might have killed his mom and daddy, I don't know. But I know one thing, brought him over there. And the first thing he did was to get himself in trouble with Melzar, the chief dietitian. Because he came and said, "Okay, here it is now. King's wine, king's meat. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself by eating the king's meat and drinking the king's wine." And he turned out to be 10 times better off than any of them and have a heap more sense. I don't know why people won't take that literally. I believe that means exactly what he said. A lot of people wonder why Daniel didn't get eaten up when he's thrown the lion's den. Well, I've often said the lions are meat eaters, and he didn't have enough grease in him. Mostly bone. Daniel had some convictions given to him by his mother and daddy, and he kept them. And brother, when the old king needed the wisest man, when his Chaldean soothsayer, fortune tellers, and all of his intellectual brass hats had played out and turned it back and walked out, little old Daniel come walking in and said, "Sure, I can read the writing on the wall. Meany, meany, tekel, you forcing. It just means that you've been playing and feasting when you ought to have been praying and fasting, and the jig's up for you." Now that may be just common parlance, but brother, whatever it is, that's it. He said, "You put it down. There's not enough merit in your soul to balance the scales of God. You weighed in the balances and found wanting." Where's God? Well, we'll find out. Old King threw him in the lion's den when he refused to quit praying 3 times a day. Tossed him in the lion's den. Where's God? Old King said, "He's in there with Daniel." You can find God in the lion's den. Hard to find anybody in the lion's den, but I'll guarantee if one of God's children goes in the lion's den, God will go with him. You might have heard me say, and I'd say it again, I wouldn't be afraid to go to hell as a child of God. You say, "Would it hurt you?" Not at all. Not at all. I mean, I believe in Jesus this much. You'd say, "Why?" Because in Christ I'm fireproof. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." And I believe if somehow by hook or crook or chance or something, if I dropped into hell, I could walk down the corridors of hell, air conditioned, singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And the devil would say, "Get him out!" You see, the average person doesn't believe that he's secure in Christ. He doesn't believe he's safe forevermore, but he is. Oh, my soul tonight, just to know that God is going to be where the Christian needs him. If the Christian hides himself away in him, I like to sing that old song, "Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high." Yes, he was Daniel with Daniel in the lion's den, the Hebrews in the fire furnace. He was in the ditch also. when the man was robbed and ruined and left to bleed to death. And the little manicured priest come a traipsing by, going home to make a report of the last convention. The old fella died and bleeding to death. Next fella came along, the Levite came along, and directly an old donkey came a-jogging along with the Good Samaritan riding him. And he stopped, and down in the ditch he went. You want to know where Jesus is? You'll find him in the ditch with people in need. What did he say? I didn't come to call the righteous, I come to call sinners. He ate with publicans and sinners. And you put it down, you'll never be blessed like God wants to bless you until you begin to help those who cannot help themselves. Doesn't make any difference whether it's Kansas City or Corpus Christi. We'll take the part. Jesus always took the part of the man that needed help. Where can I find God? Find him in the ditch. I find him sitting on the well curb if there's a sinful woman coming. I appreciate your visitation, your enthusiasm to knock on doors. And I hope you'll never get to be such a big shot and have such a big church that you'll be too busy to go visiting sinners. And the day you quit visiting sinners and knocking on doors and praying with lost people, I don't care who they are, what color they are, then you'll have to quit preaching on soul winning. Because God will cut your power completely off, and mine too. God wants his children to tell the sweet story, not just in the pulpit, but everywhere we go. Yes, you'll find him in the ditch. You'll find him at the well curb. You'll find him in the 8th chapter of John with a woman that's ready to be stoned, and the religious leaders have brought her. Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Can you imagine that? Jesus picked up his reputation and threw it to the wind. And like Joseph, he lost his coat, but he kept his character and saved the woman from sin and spoke the word to her. Yes, you'll find him in the 5th chapter. You'll find him at the Pool of Bethesda. I like that. There's a man 38 years in trouble, crippled, unable to walk, 38 years, 3 dozen plus 2 years. That's long enough for anybody to give up. Why, every doctor, I guess, in the country said you're going to have to learn to live with it. After all, medical science has done all it knows to do. You know, I wouldn't mind a doctor telling me that. I mean, even for a doctor looked at me and said, okay, Brother Olaf, I guess you might as well see that the insurance is paid up and make your barrel arrange. I wouldn't mind if a fellow, he said, so far as medical science, but I wish doctors could be like they used to be and say, now look here. Medical science can just go so far, and we've already reached that point. Now then, we better call on the Lord. You see, I'm an under shepherd. You're an under shepherd, and he's an under doctor. Amen?
Amen.
And he said, now this little, I'm just a little under doctor, but listen, we could call on the great physician. I've seen him undertake so many times. Oh, listen, dear friends. It is a sad day when we turn the body over to a man that practices medicine and turn the mind over to a man that practices psychiatry and turn our souls over to a man who practices religion. And there's nothing in Kansas City that this preacher hates more than he hates religion. And I'll guarantee the average person is loaded with religion and as miserable as religion can make them. Religion has more people to hell than everything combined. And it doesn't make any difference whether you call it Catholic or Baptist or Presbyterian or Church of Christ or whatever you want to call it. If you have nothing but religion and no personal experience of a living Savior, you're lost and dead in your sins. And you'll never be happy until Christ comes in and makes you holy. And Jesus came along and healed the man after 38 years. He honored his faith. The 9th chapter of John, a man been blind all of his life. He'd never seen a sunset. He'd never seen the sunrise. He'd never seen the smiling face. He'd never seen the tears roll down his mother's face as his little body stumbled and fell and got bruised because he was blind. But I tell you what he did see. If you want to know where Jesus is, you'll find him over at the Pool of Siloam, healing the eyes of a blind man. and send him galloping home to say, "Mother, look what Jesus did for me." And of course, when she found out that her religious organization didn't do it, it disappointed her to death. And she said, "Son, are you sure that the rabbi didn't do it?" "No, Mama, I've been going down to that little synagogue for years, and I just blind as a bat last Saturday when I left." That's about it, isn't it? "Oh, son, son, nothing. You ought to be just throwing your bonnet over the windmill, Mama. Thank God I've got my eyesight. And I don't know all about him, but I'm thankful no matter who did it. And if his name is Jesus, I'm going to tell about him. I know I was blind, but now I can see." Mother and Dad kicked him out. Friends misunderstood him. Synagogue gave him the boot. You want to know where you can find God? Find him over there when you step outside. You'll find him standing outside the gate, waiting for you to come to him. You really want to find him? Go look where I'm talking about. Quit looking in the traditional places. You'll never find him there. Say, I just happened to think. There's a little old boy in the New Testament. And he went fishing. And somebody said, "Say, Tom," or whatever his name was, "do you know this fellow called Jesus? He's going to be out way out here on the hill preaching tomorrow and teaching and so forth." He said, "Man, they tell me he performs miracles and he does wonderful things and he heals people." And said, I'm going out there. Would you? Are you going?" He said, "Well, I'll ask my mama." He asked his mother, said, "Mother, they tell me Jesus is going to be here from Galilee and I'd like to go out there and listen to him." She said, "All right, but we better fix you a lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fishes put in the box and a little old lunch basket, took off out for the hills and sat down and heard the teacher teach hour after hour, Jesus Christ, heaven's wisdom falling from those sinless lips of Jesus. A little old boy listened to him. After a while, somebody said, "Say to Jesus, folks are getting hungry around here. They're getting hungry around here." Huh. Jesus said, "You don't have to send them away. Give you them to eat." They said, "What with?" Said, "What do you have?" Said, "Little boy's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Said, "Bring them to me." Went out there and that little old boy gave every bit of it, didn't he? Every bit of it. Oh, listen. That little old fellow, I think, went home singing, "Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth nor fame. There's a crown. You can win it if you go." The mother said, "What are you talking about?" Said, "Mama, you know that 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Said, "Jesus fed 15 to 20,000. Now, son, I've told you about those things." Said, "Told me nothing. You want to know where God is? I found him in my lunch basket." Amen? Brother, if you give what you've got to Jesus, you'll find him in it. And he'll feed the multitudes. Praise the Lord. Oh, I wish I could give a little testimony with both hands raised toward Jesus. If God could take anything as scrappy and as ignorant and as sick and as sorry as I was on an old rusty cultivator with a dirty mouth and a wicked heart and an ignorant soul and a sick body and a disturbed mind, if he could take anything like me, broke without any money in the world, walk with him down this uneven journey of life and use him to help somebody, don't you know he's wonderful? Don't you know he's still able? Don't tell me God's dead. Don't you tell me he can't be found. Oh, listen, dear friends. He's in town. And he's ready. He's passing this way to save every sinner that'll call on him. Yes, you can find him tonight. I'll have to close. You can find him in the cemetery. I found him out at Lazarus in the cemetery. Out at Bethany in the cemetery. Lazarus, come forth. I found him in another cemetery over in Gadara, of all the places, walking in tombs. Old crazy man out there, no clothes, long hair, old mind deranged, scars all over him, no chains could hold him. Jesus walked up to him, loved him, put a suit on him, put a new mind in him, new heart in him, and didn't dismiss the devils and kill 2,000 hogs with them. You'd say, where could we find God? You'll find him among the needy. And yet, isn't it strange? Are you listening to me? Isn't it strange that we've turned the minds of the American people over to the godless men instead of to Jesus? I'm serious about that. I really am. I mean, we've turned them over to people that hate this old book right here. And they shoot them full of tranquilizers that won't tranquilize. And they'll hook them for life and say, you'll never be expected to improve any. This is it for the rest of your life. And our institutions, no wonder they're insane institutions. Yes, would you like to find him? Go to the New Testament just briefly. Simon Peter's in jail. The church is in prayer. He's sound asleep between the soldiers. And the angel comes with all the keys save one to the iron gate, and the iron gate opened of its own accord. You say, where's God? He's in jail with his preacher. Put him to sleep. Wouldn't he need him staying awake if his church is awake? His church is doing the praying. Peter was doing the sleeping. Had peace in his heart. Midnight it is. It's dark. A couple of old bloody preachers locked up in the jailhouse. Prayed and sang at midnight. You want to know where God is? He's in the Philippian jail with two preachers that dared to preach the truth and get people saved. Yes, dear friends, two other things and I'm proved. You know where Jesus is? He's in his intercessory office with a private line run to every heart in this building right now. You talk about direct dialing, man, I've had it for years. That's right. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. He shall call and I will answer. He shall cry and the Lord shall say, here I am! Never a busy signal. Never any circuit trouble. Talk about a miracle. You say, where's Jesus? He's in his intercessory office. And last but not least, one of these days, this old world, and all of its spiritual ignorance, and the newspapers and the television channels are going to be screaming, millions missing, tractors left running, planes falling, strangest things that ever happened. Where's God? Counter he goes with his children, heading for home. Brother, that'll be the rapture. And I'll promise you that we're living on the very verge of that day right now. And are you ready? An old song came to my mind. Christ the Savior came from heaven's glory to redeem the lost from sin and shame. And upon his head he wore the thorn crown, glory. And upon Calvary he took my blame, and now he lives on high. He lives on high, triumphing over sin, and all is saved. Yes, he lives on high. He lives on high. Someday he's coming again. And that'll be the great reunion day for God's children. Don't talk to me about your sports then, dear friends. Don't talk to me about and feel sorry for me about what I'm missing. Just praise God for what I'm getting in the middle of when he comes. And thank God for the joy unspeakable and full of glory that his children enjoy as they walk with him. And know something on the inside that the world longs to know and needs to know. Bow your heads while we pray.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff, and the title of the message, Where Can I Find God? Now, to receive that good message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO27622762. To help us cover shipping and handling, we'd like to have at least $10. And if you can help with the ministry even further, that would certainly be greatly appreciated as we go through these very tough summer months. We'd like to have the call letters to this radio station and also today's date. If you'd like to order by credit card, call toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. The address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around.
The special offer for the month of May is Lighthouse Memories, number 838. To help with shipping and handling, please send $12 for the CD and some of the songs, Looking for a City, Hallelujah, What a Savior, Will Soon Be Done, Amazing Grace, and of course, The Lighthouse. Now to receive the CD, send $12, and we accept credit cards, by the way, and you can call us toll free at 1-800-772-7507 or write to the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Again, the offer is Lighthouse Memories, offer number 838. The address again is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403, or use your credit card by dialing 1-800-772-7507. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, hoping that you'll have a wonderful day. And we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.